August 1, 1916. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, sweetheart, you have been much interested in the book, The Birth of Buddha, you were reading, and there are some wonderful statements contained in it, and which, as you must see, are fables, for never did the things related happen. There are in the spirit world a great number of spirits who believe in and worship Buddha, and who are satisfied in their beliefs and their manner of living and the places in which they live. None of them are in the celestial heavens, but are in several spheres of the spirit world according to the development of their moral natures and their natural loves. I have never seen the founder of this sect, but I am informed that he is in the sixth spirit sphere and is a very bright spirit and pure, and still engaged in teaching his doctrines. But of course he has changed in some of his doctrines, notably the doctrine of reincarnation, for all the spirits of his followers on earth remain in the spirit world, and never become reincarnated. Well, I do not know whether we can have him come and write or not, but we will make the effort sometime in order that he may tell you himself of his present beliefs and condition of bliss. Well, you will be able to do that and it may have some effect. But you have so many other things to do at this time that I do not think we will have him come very soon. Your own true and loving, Helen. August 5, 1916. I am here, John. I come tonight to say only a few words, and these in reference to love, the divine love of the Father which he re-bestowed upon mankind at the coming of the Master. This love is the greatest thing in all the world, and the only thing that can make man at one with 410, the Father, and change the soul of man as it has existed since his creation, into a divine substance filled with the essence of the Father. There is nothing else in all the universe of God that can cause man to become a new creature, and an inhabitant of the Father's kingdom, and when men possess this love, then they possess everything that will make them not only the perfect man but the divine angel. Then men will understand the moral precepts of brotherly love and also the Father's oneness, and they will not have to seek for other help in order to bring into the life of a human race those qualities that will bring to it peace and goodwill. Then will every man know that every other man is his brother, and be able to do unto each as he would have the other to do unto him, and this without effort or sacrifice on his part, for love worketh its own fulfillment and all its beneficence floweth towards the fellow man as falls the dews from heaven. Envy and hatred and strife and jealousy and all the other evil qualities of man will disappear, and only peace and joy and happiness will remain. It is so abundant that it may be possessed by all men by the mere seeking and the sincere longing for its inflowing. But man must understand that it is not his by matter of right, nor is it ever forced upon him, but comes only in response to the sincere earnest prayer of a soul that is filled with longings for its coming. This love comes not with observation of mere moral rules, or with good deeds and the exercise of the natural love of a man towards his fellows, because no man can possibly merit it by any deeds or acts or kindness of heart that he may have. All these things are desirable and they work out their own rewards, and bring the happiness and peace that result from good thoughts and kind deeds, but all these do not bring unto the soul of man this great love. It is the Father alone, and only when the soul is opened up to its reception can it possibly find its home in that soul. It is greater than faith or hope, because it is the real substance of the Father, while faith and hope are the qualities which a man may possess by his own efforts, and which are given him that he may realize the possibility of obtaining this love. They are merely means, love is the end and fullness of their exercise. But men must not believe that all love is the divine love, for it is very different in its substance and qualities from all other loves. The Paget Messages 1916. All men have as a part of their possessions the natural love, and they need not pray for a bestowal of that, although since it has become defiled by sin it needs to be purified and freed from this blight, and the Father is ever willing and ready to help men obtain this purification. But this divine love is not a part of man's nature, nor can he obtain or possess it, except he seek for it. It comes from without and is not developed from within. It is the result of individual acquirement, and not the object of universal possession. It may be possessed by all, it can be possessed by only a few, and each man must determine for himself whether it shall be his. With God there is no respect of persons, neither is there any royal road to the obtaining of this love. All must pursue the same way, and that way is the one that Jesus taught, the opening up of the soul to this love, finding a lodgment therein, which can be brought about only by sincere prayer and longing for its inflowing. This love is the life of the celestial heavens and the only key that will unlock the gates, and when the mortal enters therein, all other love is absorbed by it. It has no substitute, and is of itself, a thing apart. It is of the essence of the divine, and the spirit which possesses it is divine itself. It may be yours, it may be all men's, and it may not. You must decide that question for yourself. Not even the Father can make the decision for you. In closing, let me repeat that it, divine love, is the greatest thing in all God's universe, and not only the greatest, but the sum of all things, for from it flows every other thing that brings peace and happiness. I will not write more tonight, and with my love to you, and the blessing of the Father, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, John. August 13, 1916. I am here, Jesus. I was with you tonight and heard the address of the preacher, Elder Daniels, and the explanation of the cause of the great war, World War I, that is now raging in Europe, and it was a very intelligent and truthful one, and the real foundation of the war. I will not came as the Prince Michael, as the preacher said, to establish my kingdom on earth and take into me those whose names are written in the book and destroy those whose names are not therein written, for I have already come and am now in the world working to turn men's hearts to God and to teach them the way by which they may 411, become at one with the Father and receive into their souls the divine love. In no other way will I ever come to men on earth, for they will not need me as a visible king with the powers and armies of the spirit world in visible form to subdue the evil that exists. There will arise no Satan to fight against me or my followers in the sense that the preacher teaches, for besides, the fact is that I am already in the world fighting for the salvation of men, and there is no Satan. The only devils or evil spirits who are trying to influence men to evil thoughts and actions are the spirits of men which still retain all their sins and wickedness, and the evil that exists in the hearts of men themselves. How pitiable it is that the preacher and his followers believe that the spirits of men who have died the natural death are also dead and resting in the grave or in oblivion, waiting for the great day of my appearance on earth, as they say, in order to come again into life and be called by me into my kingdom. How much they lose by such beliefs, and how great and surprising will be their awakening when they pass through the change called death. There will be no battle of Armageddon, only as each man or the soul of each man, is now fighting the battle between sin and righteousness. This is the only battle that will ever be fought between the Prince of Peace and Satan. Each soul must fight its own battle, and in that fight the powers of God, by his instruments, which never cease to work, will be used to help that soul overcome the great enemy, sin, which is of man's creation. These teachings of the preacher do great harm to mankind in that they cause the individual man to believe that I, as the Prince of Peace, will come in mighty power, and in one fell swoop will destroy evil and all who personify it, and thereby do the work which each individual man must do. I know that it will be very difficult to persuade the people of this sect that what they teach and what they conclude the Bible teaches is not true, but I hope that when my truths are brought to light and men have the opportunity to learn the truth, that many of them will halt in the security of their beliefs and attempt to understand these truths, as they must understand them, either in the mortal life or in the spirit world in order to enter the kingdom of God. As to these prophecies of Daniel, they have no application to the present condition of the world, and so far as they were written by him or by any, the Paget Messages 1916, other prophet, they related only to the times in which they were written. No man, inspired or not, and no spirit, had the omniscience to foretell these wonderful things that are now taking place in the world, and any attempts to apply these supposed prophecies to the happenings of the present day are without justification and the results of the imaginations of men that the occurrences fit the prophecies. Peace will come, but not as the result of any battle of Armageddon, or any other battle based upon the principles which the preacher applies to these prophecies. As I have said, this battle is going on all the time, and it is an individual fight between the sinful soul and the creatures of man's disobedience. So do not waste your time in reading or listening to these unreal and foundationless teachings of men who think that they have discovered the intentions of God with reference to the destiny of nations. I will not write more tonight, but at some time I may say more on this subject, though its only importance is that it attracts men's attention away from the truth and creates beliefs which do harm. I will soon come and write another message of truth. I am with you, as I told you, trying to help you and to show you the way to that new birth which is yours and all others who will follow my instructions. I love you as a younger brother and will continue to bless you with my influence and prayers. So doubt not and pray to the Father and you will find the truth in greater fullness and receive corresponding happiness. I will now stop. Your brother and friend, Jesus. August 15, 1916. I am here, Jesus. I have been interested in your reading of the messages on desires tonight and I know that they will do much good to those who have heard them. For I must tell you that there have been present a large number of spirits of all kinds that have listened attentively to what you have read and many of them are wondering what they can mean as they only heard the important points of the messages referred to. You must continue to receive the messages just as soon as you get in a better condition physically, which will soon be as you will commence to recover your vitality, just as quickly as the weather gets a little cooler. Tonight I will not write more as it is very late and you had better go to bed, but I will come soon and write you. 412, so with my love I will say good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. August 26, 1916. I am here, Jesus. I come tonight to let you know that in a few nights I will write you another message, conveying important truths that are necessary for men and spirits to know. I see that you have not been well and that your vitality is somewhat exhausted, and that it is not best for you to attempt to write much at this time. You had better not attempt to receive any messages except from your wife. I wish to tell you, though, that you will soon feel much better, and will be able to proceed with your work without any interference. The only part of man that is immortal is the soul. The spirit is merely the active energies that manifest life and these energies for their existence depend upon the soul from which they emanate. Very soon I will deliver a message defining just what the soul is, and what the spirit is, and their relationship to each other and to the body. So do not trouble yourself about this question, but believe that the soul is the ego, the real part of man which distinguishes him from the beast, which has a spirit as has man, but not a soul. All these matters will be explained before we cease delivering these messages of truth. I will not write more tonight, but with my love and blessings, say to you have faith in the Father's love and pray without ceasing, and all happiness will be yours. Your brother and friend, Jesus. August 28, 1916. I am here, John. I merely want to say that you will soon be well and in condition to receive some of our messages which we are anxiously waiting to write. The time is approaching when the book will have to be published and it is very necessary that you get these messages in full so that you can complete the book. Of course we want to incorporate every truth that is necessary to make known to mankind, and to do so we will have to work faster. Well, I knew him well, James the Lesser, and he was the brother of Jesus, the real brother, having the same father and mother that Jesus had, and all speculations as to his having parents who were other than the parents of Jesus are erroneous. He, the Paget Messages 1916, was not an apostle of Jesus and came to believe in him later in the career of Jesus, but when at last he became convinced that Jesus was the true Messiah, he became a very earnest and hard-working follower of Jesus, and also the first Christian bishop of Jerusalem. I have no personal knowledge as to whether he wrote the epistles ascribed to him or not, but he has said that he wrote some portion of the same and that in it are many assertions of truth which are wrong and which he did not teach. All the writings of the New Testament, as they now exist, contain so many things which the original writers did not write and which they did not teach or believe in that it is with difficulty that the mortal, even though a great student, can separate the true from the false. And that is one reason that enters into our motives for writing a new revelation of the truth. These truths will be made plain and you must not let the writings of the Bible influence you in your receiving a correct conception of these truths. I will not write more now. So with my love I will say good night, John. I am here, Luther. I will not write much at this time, but am anxious to continue my letter to my followers, and as soon as you are in condition I will come and hope that you will give me the opportunity. Well, of course, I will have to wait until they have delivered these messages, but I have no doubt that there will be times when you will not be occupied by receiving their messages. I thank you and will come. I have met both the popes who were in the papal chair at the time that I went to Rome and when I was afterward persecuted and brought to trial before them. Pope Leo X and Pope Clement VII, they are now in the celestial heavens, but before they left the earth sphere they were in very great darkness and suffering intensely, and thus repentance was very thorough and sincere. They were compelled to realize the great evil that the teachings and dogma of their church was doing to humanity, and they devoted all their time in the spirit life to attempting to influence the priests and hierarchy of the great errors that they were teaching, but the result of their work was not very satisfactory for reasons that I have not time to explain now. The state of the ignorant Catholic layman is a very deplorable one when he comes to the spirit world, but that of the Pope and the priest is 413. Beyond all description. They are forever branded by the results upon their followers of their evil teaching and consequently suffer very much. Sometime I will come to you and write in detail into the conditions and causes there is of these blind teachers of the blind. I must not write more tonight. With my love I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Martin Luther. September 5, 1916. I am here, Constantine. I was the Roman Emperor and died as the head of the Christian Church. I wasn't really a Christian and did not understand the true principles of the Christian teachings, but I adopted Christianity as a state religion because of political purposes added to my desire to destroy the powers of my antagonists who were believers in and worshippers of the gods of paganism. I was a man who cared not in the slightest whether the cross or the symbol of the oracles was the true sign of religion, or whether the followers of religious beliefs belong to the Christian Church or the worship of the gods which our country had for so many years adopted and followed. My great desire when I made Christianity the state religion was to obtain power and the allegiance of the majority of the people of the empire. The Christians were very numerous and were persons of such intense convictions, so intense, that not even death could remove or change these convictions. I knew that when they once gave me their allegiance, I should have a following that could not be overthrown by those who were worshippers of the old gods. The latter people were not so interested in their religious beliefs, individually, as to cause them to have such convictions as would interfere with any religion that I might establish, when they realized that their material interests would be advanced by at least formally recognizing that religion is a state establishment. Their beliefs were not the results of conviction but merely those of what had been accepted by their ancestors and transmitted to them as a kind of inheritance. They believed in the gods and the oracles as a matter of course, without ever having made the objects of their beliefs matters of investigation in order to learn if those beliefs were true or not. Truth was not sought for, and hence conviction was a mere shallow acquiescence. The Paget Messages 1916. During all the time of my office as emperor, I never changed my beliefs and never accepted the teachings of the Christians as the revelation of truth, and in fact, I never considered such a matter as religion worthy of my serious consideration. Many doctrines were proposed and discussed by the ecclesiastical teachers and leaders of this religion, and those doctrines were approved by me which were adopted by a majority of these leaders as true and the correct declarations of what the scriptures of the Christians contained. I let these leaders fight their own battles as to doctrines and truths, and when they decided what should be accepted and declared by the church to be true doctrines, I approved the same and promulgated them as binding upon all the followers of the Christian faith. So I, though it has been frequently said, did not establish the canonicity of the Bible, or determine and legalize the doctrines which were declared and made binding by the conventions of the leaders of the church. Of course, I gave them my sanction and official approval, but they were not mine and should not be said to have been established by me, for if the doctrines of the Arians had been accepted and declared by a majority of these ecclesiasts as the true teachings of the Christian scriptures, I should have sanctioned and given them the state's authority. As I said, I was not a Christian when I lived and I did not die a Christian, notwithstanding all the fantastical and miraculous things which have been written about me and my conversion to Christianity. When I came into the spirit world, I found myself in great darkness and suffering, realizing that I had to pay the penalties for the sins thought and committed by me on earth, and all the masses which were said for the benefit of my soul never helped me one particle to get out of my unhappy condition. I knew nothing about the divine love or the mission of Jesus in coming to earth, and I found that my sins had not been washed away as the teachers had often told me on earth would be done for me. Many long years I remained in this condition of darkness and unhappiness, without finding any relief by reason of the mystical workings of Jesus' atonement of which the priests had told me, and which I did not believe, nor the help of the gods in whom I had been taught to believe by our philosophers and religious teachers. No, I found no relief and my condition seemed to be fixed, and 414, hope of the Christian heaven that was never mine, and of the fields Elysian that would be mine in a hazy way, did not cause me to feel that my sufferings would at some time come to an end and the glad face of happiness appear. But after a time the light of the truth in which Jesus came to teach, broke in on my understanding and soul, and the divine love of the Father commenced to flow into my soul and continued until I became a possessor of it to that degree that I was carried to the celestial spheres, where I now am, a redeemed pure and immortal soul, having undoubting knowledge and conviction that I possess in my soul the divine essence of the Father, and the certainty of eternal life in the celestial kingdom. I cannot tonight write you of my experience in either the dark planes or in the successive progressive spheres, but sometime I will come and detail that experience. But before ceasing my writing, I wish to say with all the force that I have, that only the divine love of the Father can save a soul from its sins and make it at one with the Father in his divine nature. Let creeds and dogmas and man-made doctrines take care of themselves, and learn the truth, and in that truth abide, for truth is eternal and never changes, and no decrees of man or dogmas of church tradition of the early fathers or writers, or creeds of ecclesiastical conventions, so solemnly adopted, and declared, can make that a truth which is not a truth. Truth existed before all these things and is not subject to them, nor by them can it be added to or taken from. I must not write more now, and thank you for having permitted me to write. So with my love, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Constantine. I am here, Saint Luke. I am glad to write once more and feel that very soon you will be able to receive our messages. I will not attempt to write at length tonight, and will only say that as you may doubt the identity of the one who has just written you, I desire to confirm the fact that it was Constantine, the Roman emperor, who wrote you. He was very much pleased that he could write and in a hurried way correct some of the historical errors that have existed concerning his true position as to Christianity. He is now a very bright spirit and an inhabitant of the celestial spheres, and of course, a possessor, the Paget Messages 1916, of the Divine Love. I desire to tell you though, that he was scourged by his conscience as it were, before he got out of his condition of darkness and suffering, superinduced very largely by pride. In his own conceit, he was an emperor for a very long time after he entered the spirit world, and retained all the pride of an emperor. But I will leave all this for him to write about as he promised, and stop writing for the time. Well, you must not become discouraged, for the divine love is a reality, and you have some of it and may have more. Only pray the Father for his help and guidance. We all love you and trying to helping you, only believe. Your brother in Christ, Luke. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, my dear, you had an unusual message tonight, or rather, I may say, an unexpected one, and I see that you doubted the identity of the author. But as Luke is acquainted with him you can rest assured that what Luke said is true. But he is only one of a great number of spirits, who as men were prominent on earth, are here in the spirit world, and if given the opportunity would write to you, but as we have work to do, which will take a great deal of your time and energy, these spirits will not be permitted to write at this time, of the truth that we wish to convey. The one who wrote his or was an important personage in the history of Christianity, and hence we thought it advisable to let him write. Your own true and loving, Helen. September 10, 1916. I am here, John. I come tonight to tell you that in a few nights I desire to write you a message on an important truth regarding the ultimate destiny of the man who does not receive the divine love of the Father, but who depends upon his own righteousness, and the help that he may receive from spirit friends who have not this divine love in their souls. I know that this subject has been written on before to a limited extent, but I wish to deal with it in detail and at large so that humanity can make no mistake as to what this future will be, and can have no excuse for not seeking the celestial kingdom. I have been with you tonight. Mr. Paget attended a spiritualist meeting, and heard what was said, and saw that none of the speakers have any experience as to what this great necessity as to a 415, future state of at-oneness with the Father means, and that they are satisfied with the knowledge of the continuity of life and the help and comfort that their spirit friends may bring to them in their communications. The truth as to this great vital necessity must be taught to mankind, and the way to this divine love must be made so plain that no man can have any excuse for not obtaining it and becoming an inhabitant of the celestial kingdom. Many are longing for this condition of soul and know not the way to obtain it, and have to rest unsatisfied. So you see we must hurry with our messages, for men are dying rapidly and without the knowledge of this great truth. You are now in better condition than you have been for some time, and you will continue to improve so that we will be enabled to deliver our messages with ease and certainty. Pray to the Father for his love and help and you will receive both and find that your worries will leave you and peace come to you, so that your thoughts may be turned more to the work which is set before you. Faith and prayer are the great means by which your soul may be filled with this love, and happiness will follow as surely as the day follows the night, and something of the joys of the celestial spheres will be yours. I know that you are anxious to do this work and that you long for the time when your whole efforts may be devoted to it, and to the revealing to man the truths which we come to reveal. We are all with you and are trying to help you in every way so that troubles may leave you. There are many spirits present tonight, throwing around you the influence of their loves, and praying to the Father that his blessings may be bestowed upon you and your soul made happy with the inflowing of his love. I will not write more tonight and in leaving you say, pray and believe. With my love and blessings, I'm your brother in Christ, John. I am here, Samuel. I come to write you that I am with you in love and hope for your present blessing and happiness. I know that the worries of life prevent you from realizing the influence of this great love which is surrounding you and which is ready and waiting to fill your soul to its fullness. But if you will pray more to the Father and exercise your faith, you will find that your worries will lessen, and peace will come to you in such abundance and beauty that you will feel like a new man. The Paget Messages 1916, as John said, with this faith, love will flow into your soul, and you will realize to some extent the joys of our celestial conditions, for the love that may be yours is the same love, in its nature, that we possess, and that has made angels of us all, and inhabitants of the Father's kingdom. Only believe, and you will realize how willing this love is to take possession of your soul, and make you so happy that even the troubles that you have will not be sufficient to take from you the great peace that passes all understanding. I have been in the spirit world for many years and have possessed this love for a long time, and know by actual experience what it is, and what great joy it brings to its possessor, so that you can rely on what I promise you, and feel the certainty that actual knowledge gives. I am now, as you know, a wholly redeemed child of the Father, and one who knows that his divine love in the soul makes the man or spirit of the essence of the Father. When this love enters the soul of man it increases like the leaven in the dough, and continues in its work until the whole soul is impregnated with it, and everything of sin or error is wholly eradicated. Love worketh all things that man can wish for or conceive of, and more besides. Paul's description of love and the wonderful qualities and conditions that emanate from it, does not contain all its emanations and resultant happiness. But I must not write more tonight for it is late and you are tiring. So believe what I have said, and try to follow my advice and you will soon experience that peace and happiness which only this love can bring to the souls of men. So with my love and blessings I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Samuel. September 12, 1916 I am here, Cornelius. I will write only a few lines so that I may get in rapport with you and later write you at more length, if agreeable to you. I was the centurion of the Bible who was the first Gentile Christian.